Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Who's ready for the Word of God today? Hey, I want to spend some time for the next few minutes speaking to us all on this thought. The house that wisdom builds. Everyone say, the house that wisdom builds. The house that wisdom builds, it is Mother's Day, and I think that that affords us this wonderful opportunity to speak into home life, to speak into family life. I don't want to just target the mothers in the room, although you'll be swept up into this message, I believe, but I don't want to do that and exclude everybody else who's not in the room. But the truth is, we all have a family, right? Am I right? Some description of a family. We all have some description of a home life. And the thing is that the Bible is tremendously helpful. There's so much wisdom. There's so much practical instruction in God's Word that helps and directs us in the area of our home life and our family life. And don't we need it? Anybody need some help here today? Like, Jesus, help me today. That's a prayer I pray frequently. But we need it in our home. We need it in our family because nothing touches our hearts more. Nothing has the ability to impact us or influence us, I think, more deeply than what's going on in the home. Am I right? You know, family can be a source of incredible blessing. It can also be a source of incredible pain, depending on what the experience has been like, what the environment was like. And so for those of us today who are building homes or leaders of households or building families, or even if you're in this room and you have a deep desire to do so one day, I want you to be swept up into this as well. And I would say it's in all of our best interest to consider, what kind of house are we building? Who thinks that's a good thing to consider? What kind of house are we building? Is it one that is conducive to blessing? Is it one that is conducive to seeing all the members of the household, you know, come into their best life? Or is there something else going on? Most of us, I think, regardless of our background, regardless even of our faith, you might have been brought here today and you're not a Christian. You don't subscribe to the scriptures or anything like that. But regardless of that, I think most of us would have a pretty similar vision for our family or vision for our household. If I were to ask you, what are your long-term goals for your family? What would you love to see? I think many of us would answer along a similar track. We want our family to be successful. Am I right? We want everybody, every member of the family to be happy and healthy. We'd love to see everyone in the household kind of fulfill their potential, make a good contribution in the world. We want the relationships between us to be harmonious. We'd love for there to be unity. And of course, if you're Christian in this place, another thing you would want and you would probably say is that I want all the members of my family to love the Lord. We want our family to fulfill the will of the Lord and that sort of thing. I don't think any of us would be too different. I think we'd all probably give answers in that vein, but whilst the goal might be very obvious and clear, the strategy around how to reach the goal, that's a little bit more elusive. Am I right? You know, we know what we want, but how to get to what we want, that can be a lot harder to understand, a lot harder to pin down. And whilst the vision might be all around this unity, all around this fulfillment and so on and so forth, the reality of life and home life is sometimes it can look a bit messy. Do we have any real people in church today? You know, there can be innumerable stresses, just innumerable challenges. There can be things that come and blindside us, circumstances that we didn't see coming. There can be a lack of direction in our household, a lack of motivation in our household. You know, you can be trying to kick teenagers out of bed and so on and so forth. Not picking on any demographic today. But, you know, there can be the relational conflict, the relational breakdown, even separation. We can have troubled children, wayward children, rebellion, bad attitudes, health challenges, mental health challenges. challenges, and on and on and on. We could literally go whereby we have this vision for an amazing family unit. It kind of sits somewhere out there, but the reality of life can be so far removed from that vision, it can almost feel like fantasy. It can almost feel like it's some unattainable sort of goal. But I want to say to us today, if we turn to the word of the Lord, we find there is incredible hope. Amen. There's incredible principles in God's word that if we would apply them, we can actually expect, have a faith-filled expectation that our household would come into blessing and would come into favor and our families would thrive. Anyone want that? Yes, it's possible in Jesus' name. And I'm going to start by taking you today to our key text. We're going to find that in the book of Proverbs. And if you're familiar with the scripture, you know that Proverbs is wisdom literature. Proverbs has all sorts of principles and life instruction that would talk to us about the human experience and talk to us about how we ought to conduct ourselves in the world. And so Proverbs is giving us this how-to information. And how, when it comes to building flourishing families, don't we want some how-to information? You know, every mum knows that when we push out those babies, they do not come with a manual. Yes, mums. Amen, mums. They don't. How? We wish they came with a manual, do we not? It's like, please, God, would you just give us a manual? If they did come with a manual, it would be well used. You know, when they turn 12, we'd be like, puberty. Like, what to do when you're not ready? I'm not ready. You know, those sorts of things. You know, toilet training. Those manuals would be put to good use, I feel, if they came with one, but they don't. But here's the good news. God's word is full of instruction. Amen? Full of instruction. And the book of Proverbs gives us some how-to. And we're going to go to our key text today, Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. It says this, by wisdom, everyone say, by wisdom. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. It's a beautiful passage coming to us out of the book of Proverbs. I want to tell you that this text is not talking to us about building a physical house. It's the first thing we need to understand. It's not talking about bricks and mortar. The meaning is so much deeper. It's talking to us about building a life. Building a home, building a family unit, a spiritual home. And it says to us, there's one particular virtue that's going to help you build to a place of strong, to a place where it is established, and that virtue is wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. Wisdom. And the text goes on to say, if we build on wisdom, all of the rooms will be filled with pleasant and precious riches. Yep. Who's down for some pleasant and pleasant and precious riches? That's a tongue twister. I stumbled on the 9 a.m. I'll stumble again in the 5. Okay, pleasant and precious riches. Who's down for some of that? Amen, amen. I got to tell you that when the scripture says rooms, it's not talking about bedrooms and bathrooms, you understand? It's talking about all the areas of your life. Every single facet of your life, if you build according to wisdom, the promise is that the whole area is going to come into blessing. It's going to come into the favor of God and the benefit of God. Those things might be material things, material blessings, but greater than that, it's talking about spiritual blessings and moral blessings, things like peace and joy and righteousness and favor with God and favor with men and the things that money cannot buy. Who's up for some of those blessings? Come on. And the virtue we're told to build upon, if we want to come into that, is this virtue called wisdom. Now, it's at this point in my message that I should make sure we're all thinking about the same thing when I say wisdom, because the word wisdom might conjure up different things in different people. You're tracking with me. You know, so we're talking today primarily about godly wisdom. about biblical wisdom, not human wisdom, not worldly wisdom. And this word wisdom is so much more than mere intelligence or mere knowledge or academic knowledge. Who knows, there's a lot of people out there with a lot of academic knowledge and a lot of worldly sort of knowledge, but their lives can still be a mess. It doesn't mean that their families are functional and all this sort of thing. It's not primarily the type of wisdom that Scripture's telling us to build upon. Rather, godly wisdom, biblical wisdom, is defined as this. Are you ready? Comprehensive insight into the ways and the purposes of God. I'll say it again. Comprehensive insight into the ways and the purposes of God. Godly wisdom is a determination to love God and to live rightly before Him. That's the kind of wisdom we're talking about. And that's the kind of wisdom that the Scripture's telling us to build upon. And I think right there, we perhaps illuminate a problem right there, because so many of us do not necessarily view this type of wisdom as the preeminent virtue when it comes to building our home and building our life and family. Like if we were to rewrite the text ourselves according to our own worldview, it might actually read differently. We might write it something like this. By wealth, a house is built. And by great opportunities, she is built, she is established. By easy times, by Bali holidays, by great experiences, are all her rooms filled with pleasant and precious riches. See, I did it. you know, we might write it a little bit something like that, because that is worldly wisdom. You're tracking with me. In the how-to guide of the world, they will tell you money and experiences and opportunities and education and all those sorts of things. They are the things to build upon for favor and success. Am I right? That's what the world tells us. But it's not so in the Word of God. The Word of God says, by godly wisdom, a house is built. And if we want to realize the promise of all our rooms being filled, of every area of our life attracting the blessing, attracting the favor of God, well, the Scripture says the way we're going to do it is to build on godly wisdom and the wisdom as it's expressed to us in the Scriptures. And it's at this point, if we're indeed clever or smart, that we start asking the questions, well, what does that even mean? And how would I do that? And what would that look like in my life? What would that look like in my family? And honestly, these are such big areas. I think that we could discuss them for days, for weeks. But for the purposes of this service and this Mother's Day, I want to give us three wisdom keys. Is that all right? Three wisdom keys that I believe when you apply them in your home and in your life as you build, they're going to make you strong and establish you. Amen? They're going to make your life a magnet for the blessing and the favor of God. Anyone want to be a magnet for the hand and the blessing and the favor of God? I believe these keys have got power to do so. The first key today, everyone say number one. Number one, the fear of the Lord. Everyone say the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. We're going straight in today, this Mother's Day. It's not a fluffy message. We don't want fluffy messages, do we, Mum? Yes, we want a fluffy message. Please, just make it fluffy. Sorry. Okay, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Everyone say beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Such a helpful verse for us today, because it tells us where to start. Godly wisdom begins. Godly wisdom has its birthplace in the fear of the Lord. Like if you and I were to enroll in a university course entitled Godly Wisdom, the fear of the Lord would be module 101. You're tracking with me today. You know, it's important to note that the fear of the Lord is not fear as in terror. That's not what it's talking about. It's not fear as in being petrified. No, God is a God who deeply loves us, and that actually never changes. However, to fear the Lord is to have a deep awe of who He is. To fear the Lord is to have a reverent and worshipful posture of heart before Him all of the time. The fear of the Lord honors God as He really is, that He is completely holy, that He is totally just, and that He is the creator of all things. For me to fear Him is the fitting response of a created person before my creator. Do you understand? That is the fear of the Lord. And because of who He is, He deserves our full and complete worship. He deserves our full and complete submission. Do you understand? That is the fear of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that that is the beginning of wisdom, to position myself rightly before the Lord. And when I say the beginning of wisdom, don't think it's like a stage to complete and then move on from. No, the fear of the Lord is not only the beginning principle of wisdom, but it's actually also the enduring principle of wisdom. It lasts forever throughout our whole lives. You can think of it like this. If I was to say the alphabet is the beginning of literacy, it's kind of the same sort of idea, same sort of concept, because we all know that the first thing someone would need to do to become a literate individual is to learn the alphabet. But as they grow in literacy, they don't discard the alphabet. They build from within it, you understand? So it's kind of the same with the fear of the Lord. If we want to build wisely, we never move on from the fear of the Lord. Rather, we build our lives from deep within the fear of the Lord. Make sense to you today? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if that is true, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and if you're interested in building wisely, then it really begs the question, how are we going with the fear of the Lord? Yeah. What seat does God sit in your family, in your life, in your household? Where is He positioned? Is He on the throne or is He on the side? Is he the starting point or is He just an afterthought? Is He just on Sunday? Or is He every day? Sunday every day. There's a great restaurant down in here. Don't think about noodles. come back. But is He just on Sunday or is He actually every day? Is He Lord of some of the things in your life or is He Lord of everything in your life, every part of your life? Because your answers to those questions are going to reveal to you if you're building your life on godly wisdom or if you're building on some other thing. It's a good litmus test of our heart. And that says the wise family or the wise man or the wise woman would put God in His rightful position in their life. He is first. He is Lord. In all things we default to Him. In all things we defer to Him. In all things we exist for Him. Do I have an amen from the church today? We exist for Him. When you live in the fear of the Lord, when you're living out the fear of the Lord, you will know because God shows up in your everyday. People living in the fear of the Lord have a deep desire for His word because they want to walk in His ways. People living in the fear of the Lord have a deep commitment to prayer because they need to communicate. They need to seek Him. They need to seek His will. People living in the fear of the Lord prioritize the house of God. They prioritize the people of God. If you're living in the fear of the Lord, you're going to lead your children to the Lord. Instill a deep sense of God into your children. There's a passage of scripture that says, life is best traveled with a deep consciousness of God. Yes. That's to live in fear of the Lord. These are the actions of people who do so. And the scriptures tell us when we live in the fear of the Lord, it is wise. Yeah. It's wise. And it's going to build your house. It's a surefire way to build your house to a place of strength, to build your house to be established and to attract the blessing and the favor of God. Is that okay? The fear of the Lord. Second wisdom key. Everyone say second key. Second key is we need to play the long game. Everyone say play the long game. Play the long Is this helping someone today? Play the long game. Life is short, but it's also long. Amen? The scripture tells us that life is but a breath, but I'm like, well, I'm holding my breath. It's a long breath. Anyone ever felt like that? Life is short, but it's also long. And real life, family life can deliver us many, many, many hard seasons. Am I right? Setbacks come, disappointments come, challenges come, things that blindside us. And in those seasons, when you're in the depth of it, it can really feel like God's left the building. It can really feel like he doesn't see, that he's not really hearing our prayers. And in my own life, I have walked through many different hard and challenging seasons. You know, even in our marriage, you might look at our marriage and go, oh, they're the pastors, it's all right for them. No. You know, we've had many times where showing up for one another was not what we wanted to do. Showing up for one another was painful. Conflict was never far away. We've had times where we forgot what we loved about each other. Can we get real here? You know, parenting, for me, you know our story. You know Isaiah's story. You know the gravity of his disability. But in those early intervention years, you know, when I watched him fail to meet milestone after milestone after milestone, the grief. And the truth was, and is still to this day, that I've had better conversations with two-year-olds in this church than I've ever been able to have with my own son, and he's 18. Yeah. You better believe there's been some dark nights of the soul. There's been some seasons of immeasurable grief. And I don't say that to elicit pity, because I know you've had your seasons too. Real life happens to all of us. Like, every single one of us has got burdens to bear. And the temptation that comes when we find ourselves in those places is to question God. And we can be tempted even to quit, to turn our back on the Lord. Or even if we don't fully walk away, you just kind of stop really believing. You just kind of take your foot off the accelerator, stop seeking, back away from passion, back away from fervor, stop serving, all those sorts of things. But wisdom reminds us, play the long game, because God is a long game God. Mate, let that I'm very Australian. It's only getting worse, people. Let that yeah, mate. Let that minister to some of you here today. God is a long game God. We are in a hurry. He is not. Don't we wish you'd go faster? Lord, come here. Go faster. No, we're in a hurry. God is not. We want everything now. He gives in due season. We love outcomes. We love the destination, we love outcomes, but God loves journey. God loves process. We view our life through this lens of the temporary, but the Lord is viewing your life through the lens of the eternal. And I want to promise you, they're very different lenses. And it's very unwise to make long-term decisions based on a single difficult season. Very unwise, because difficult seasons come, but they also go. Hallelujah for the difficult season that goes. Amen. And there's so many promises in God's word that talk to us about the fact that eventually the Lord brings his children through. Like, he works all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And eternally, he makes it all new. Do I have an amen? Glory to God. All your sowing, the scripture says, will reap a harvest. Amen. But we don't get to participate in the harvest if we quit halfway. We got to not give up. You have to play a long game. Amen. I would not have got to stand in the blessing and the benefit of my marriage today if I had quit back then. Like, it comes as a reward to those who would play a long game. Amen. Play the long game. There's no such thing as a permanent season. Do I have an amen? Amen. Every season comes, every season goes. But the thing that is permanent is the character of God. He is stable. He is faithful. He is present. He is reliable. And doesn't matter what the season, if it takes you up or down or around, it does not matter. God is permanent. God is faithful. Lamentations 3, 22 to 26. I would say this has been one of my favorite scriptures of all time that I have dug into in countless difficult seasons. It says this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Everyone shout, never ceases. Never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Your husband's not your portion. Your family's not your portion. The circumstance is not your portion. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. This is long game language, people. Yeah. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. What a magnificent text, eh? It's telling us, son, daughter, lock in. Through the hard thing, lock in. Play the long game. Because God is so good. He's so faithful. He's got new mercy for you today. And every single day. Every single day until you die. There's new mercies from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even on the hard days, there's new mercy. So if your toddler's doing your head in right now, if your teenager's gone a bit crazy, wisdom says, don't quit. Wisdom says, trust God and play the long game. Amen? If your marriage is rocky, don't quit. Trust God, play the long game. Someone got a diagnosis, trust God, play the long game, play the long game. Someone once said, everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end. Yeah, so good. Amen? If it's not all right, it's not the end. So keep going. Keep going, mom. Keep going, dad. Keep believing, husband and wife. Keep praying, young person, single person. Keep on, because God's playing the long game with your life. And even with building our future coming up, it's people who play the long game that are people who leave a legacy. Amen? Amen? When you're a parent, when you're a person that builds faithfully, line upon line, year upon year, sowing year in, year out, in prayer, in faith, in finance, not quitting in the hard times, that's when you become a legacy leaver. That's when you actually stand as an example to the next generation, have something to pass on, but you can't do it if you don't play the long game. There's no legacy in short, amen? No one who hangs around for a short time leaves a legacy. Yeah. Legacy is found for long game players, amen? Final wisdom key, everyone say final key. Final key. Final key is love covers. Love covers. We need this one. We need them all. In our lives, in our families, our homes, truth is many mistakes will be made. Yes. Truth is lots of offenses will come. Mum guilt is a real thing. I've had a lot of mum guilt, and I know you probably have too. You know, regrets are a real thing because we're human. Every single one of us is human, and we try, but we don't always miss the mark. And we don't mean to hurt each other. We don't mean to mess it up, but unfortunately, inevitably, sometimes we do. But we need to give praise to God because he's given us this incredible virtue called love. And if we apply it liberally, and if we apply it freely, we find that it is actually powerful enough to cover. It can cover mistakes. It can heal wounds. It can bridge divides. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says this. It says, above all. Everybody say, above all. Above all in your family, in your household. Love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude, people. As many offenses as might come, the small ones, the large ones, love is this thing that has a power to cover them all. Making a decision in your household to love with abandon, it's actually a wisdom key for your family. Loving, making the choice to love furiously in all seasons is a wisdom key for your marriage. It's a wisdom key for your parenting. It's a wisdom key. And you might feel an objection rising in your spirit and going, how can I love like that when the wounds are so deep? You know, how could I even contemplate loving like that when they've hurt me so greatly, or when they're so annoying, or so frustrating, or all of these sorts of things might be rising in your spirit? And I would say to that, the birthplace of this kind of love is only found in your relationship with the Lord. The birthplace of this kind of love is only found at the feet of Jesus. It's at the feet of Jesus where we remember His love covered a multitude of sin in me. It's at the feet of Jesus that we remember His love continues to love me when I'm annoying. Any other annoying folk? His love continues to love me when I'm stubborn, when I'm proud. His love doesn't bail on me when I'm at my worst. It's at His feet we remember that His love actually acted unreasonably for us. You know, when the King of Kings left His throne in heaven to come down and paid a ransom for you and for me, he paid the price of our sins. So if you're saved here today, then you're the product of unreasonable love. The love that covers you, the love that redeems you, the love that sets you free. And if we're wise, we would seek the Spirit's help to try and give that same sort of love to the people around us and in our world. Scripture says this in 1 John 4, verse 7. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Everybody say it. Love comes from God. The birthplace of this love is God's love. It comes from Him. Romans 13, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except, everyone say except. Except the continuing debt to love one another. Pay off your financial debts by all means. That is wise. But unfortunately, as a Christian, you're never going to be debt-free. You're going to have a continual, perpetual, ongoing indebtedness to love the people around you. That is a debt you should never pay off. And as we choose to radically love, as we make that choice, we'll find that it covers and it heals and it helps us build a family, build a home that is so strong and established. And it's a magnet for the favor and the blessing of God. Amen. Right back to where we started, Proverbs 24. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So how are we going to build our homes with wisdom? We're going to build them by dwelling in the fear of the Lord. We're going to build them by committing ourselves to trusting God and playing the long game. We're going to build them by seeking Him, that we would be able to love in a radical way, in the type of way that covers. And with these keys and by the grace of God, I believe that we will truly see ourselves enter, our households enter into the promises of Proverbs 24. By wisdom a house is built, that we would be strong and established, and that all our rooms, every area, be filled and flooded with the favor and blessing of God.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.